Hi, everyone, and welcome to Talent Talks. I'm your host, Rob Adams, and today I'm excited to be joined by Pete Petrella, president at Talent Rise. Talent Rise is an executive search and talent management consulting firm that provides customized leadership and organizational solutions to mid to large market employers, primarily in professional services, healthcare, consumer and industrial manufacturing, technology, financial services, and nonprofit. Not only do their comprehensive sourcing and recruitment processes utilize a carefully crafted and strategic approach, but they also leverage a suite of predictive analytics and behavioral assessment tools to measure candidate job fit. Pete serves as president at Talent Rise and is responsible for company strategy, driving growth initiatives, and enhancing Talent Rise's service offerings to meet the evolving needs of our client base. Pete spearheads the development of innovative talent acquisition solutions and leadership programs that align with the company's mission to empower organizations with top-tier talent and leadership capabilities. Additionally, he is responsible for expanding market reach, fostering strong client relationships, and leading operations to ensure seamless service delivery. Today, we'll explore how executive search firms are evolving to meet new demands. We'll discuss how technology like AI is changing the landscape, why the human touch still matters, and what it takes to support leaders, especially in private equity environments. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate being here today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. And let's dive right in. How is your firm approaching executive search differently today than it might have 5 or 10 years ago? And what's changed? What's remained core to your approach?
Well, the change has been remarkable over the past, 10 years specifically, and even over the past 5 years. Heck, over the past year, there's been a ton of change in what we do and how we do it. And we continue to evolve. There are some things that remain core to our approach. The assessment of hard skills that people have and their ability to do a job that we're looking for them to do or to coach them as leaders, that, those hard skills haven't changed. What has changed, though, is the soft skills and how we assess those soft skills and what we're looking at in terms of their emotional intelligence, their adaptability, their resilience. The way they're going to impact a culture, in an environment that they're going to go work in, and how they're going to relate within that culture and relate to the person that they're going to be working with most closely, and then the person, the people on the rest of their team or people that are reporting to them. So those soft skills are mattering as much or if not more than hard skills. And, we're able to assess those. Also, I'd be hard pressed not to mention, the advancements in technology and, of course, AI, the magic word that everyone's talking about these days and what it brings to especially work that we do in this type of environment. It has changed the game. I mean, there's no lie, in terms of the abilities that AI bring to the table and how it makes us more efficient in what we do and faster, and how we can find, talent, how we can assess talent. It's given us more tools to work with. The speed, really does allow us to be able to do the routine tasks. And I'll talk more about, kind of what tasks we could do, but the routine tasks that we need to do on a day-to-day basis, we could do those faster. We could do those more efficiently with the help of AI. What that does for us is help bring our value proposition more towards really focusing on assessing those soft skills and assessing a fit for someone into a job, into an organization, and ensuring that their placement is going to work out. It also helps us provide a better experience to our candidates because we're not spending a ton of time in some of those routine tasks that would take up a lot of time for us and doing a lot of writing and other things that are note-taking and, things that are have the ability to be done by AI, where we could spend more time and be more high touch. We'll talk more about being kind of a high touch type firm with a high touch experience. And that does help us be more high touch with our candidates and with our clients and spend more time with them because we have a lot of those things covered.
You addressed a lot of AI in that answer. I'm going to kind of ask a second question related to that. So if you've covered things, my apologies, but I'll go for it anyway. It it's such a topic, as you said. AI is all over, a lot of buzz about it, and a lot about the role of AI in search, from sourcing to assessments. How do you see AI fitting into executive search and leadership development work today?
Like I said, it definitely has changed the game a bit, you know, and given us more tools and more opportunities to multiply ourselves and to work faster and be more efficient. Those tasks you mentioned, like sourcing candidates and building pipelines of candidates and mapping talent, and then, you know, within coaching, creating content, developing opportunities for people, you know, and kind of being more present, you know, within the work that we're doing, because we have tools that maybe note takers or other tools that are on top of what we're doing to be able to help enable us better in the work that we're doing. So, you know, being specific, one big area it's helped us in is, I mentioned note taking. We do a lot of executive summaries for search. We do a lot of reports for coaching. That's one manual process that took a lot of time and effort coming off of an interview or coming off of a coaching engagement. And now we can turn around reports and summaries and executive reports very quickly, you know, with the help of AI. So it helps us take the notes. It helps us summarize the material. It helps us organize ourselves in a way that we could, you know, put out reports or follow up materials or things that we need from, you know, a coaching client or from a person doing an interview. And it helps us be faster and provide better service to our clients. So there are a lot of efficiencies that AI is bringing to our work on a day-to-day basis, even, you know, things like job descriptions, and help with getting us to a point where we could kind of bring together a bunch of different ideas on a job description and then, you know, put our touch on it afterwards. We're not starting from scratch. We're starting from the 50% to 60% range of getting something done, and able then to, you know, to build upon that.
I'm going to circle back to something you said in response to the first question, and I'll frame it this way. At the same time, many believe that the human element is more important than ever. So you referred to high touch. What does a high touch approach look like at your firm, and how does that translate to better outcomes for clients and candidates?
Yeah, and the human aspect of things is very, very important for many reasons in the work that we do. You know, there are, you know, noise. There's a lot of noise out there about AI coming to disrupt our jobs and coming to take our jobs. And I heard something at the conference, actually the Hunt Scanlon conference I was at recently, where you were at as well, Rob, that talked about how AI isn't coming for your jobs, but people who know how to enable and maximize AI are coming for your jobs. And we know that we can utilize AI for certain things that help us be more efficient, like I mentioned earlier, and do our routine tasks. However, there are a lot of things that we do that AI can't do, you know, in terms of that human touch and the high touch. You know, on the search side, we take each candidate through end client through an entire journey. You know, we spend a lot of time with each candidate, and we make sure we interview them maybe twice, two, you know, or three times before we present them to a client, you know, and really try to understand those soft and hard skills, how they mesh. I mentioned earlier, just, you know, their emotional intelligence and other things, that soft skills that they have to determine the culture and fit of the organization. We also spend a lot of time with our clients on the front end, making sure that we understand their organization. We know the cultural fits. We can kind of blend those things together on the soft skills with the candidates we're talking to. So those types of things and that kind of intuition, AI doesn't necessarily have that yet. You know, and on the coaching side, it's really hard to be able to, for AI to do anything that, you know, can kind of turn on a dime. You know, you might have a moment in, you know, in a coaching engagement that kind of like aha moment that two people can really come across and realize that when you're trying to have something go through AI and build an algorithm that may have some just canned things that they're looking for, you know, in helping a person go through a coaching engagement, they're not nimble enough to necessarily have those aha moments. Gets very structured at that point. So the human touch is extremely important. AI can't really interpret tone or body language or any of like the unspoken concerns that come up both in like interviewing for a job and going through a coaching engagement. You know, we trust in building relationships is also a big part of what we do, you know, and people talk to us in a very confidential way. You know, there's a lot of trust that happens there, whether they're looking for a new job and leaving, you know, the job that they're at, and they're going to, you know, entrust in us to say, okay, here I'm thinking of leaving my job and I want you to help me. Clients that are thinking about moving on from a person, you know, and kind of letting that person go and hiring a new person, doing that in a very vulnerable, confidential way. People who engage in coaching, they're very vulnerable, you know, in that phase. And that vulnerability is, you know, they build a lot of trust with the person that they're talking to. So there's a lot of opportunities within that conversation, you know, that happens both in search and coaching where our recruiters or our coaches become confidants, you know, not just necessarily service providers or not just asking questions and robotically getting an answer. They're confidants to these people to help them with their business or help them with their career. And those breakthrough moments and those situations that happen as a confidant are super important.
Very, very well said, because there is such a reaction to AI these days. And I think those are comforting words for people who are so concerned that, yeah, AI is coming for their jobs. And I think you sum that up very well. Pete, when it comes to leadership development, especially in the context of coaching newly placed executives, what are some of the key challenges leaders face during transitions? And how do you support them through that?
Yeah, great question. And we, so at Talent Rise, we actually have, you mentioned, you know, the newly placed executives. We actually have a very specific program called our 90-Day Fast Start Coaching Program. So we stay with someone who just got placed at a job, whether they got placed by us or potentially not, in the first 90 days of their job, and have a certified, ICF certified coach that stays with them through that entire journey. And our coaching practice during that time will focus on two big things during those 90 days. We focus a lot on their habit activation, what they do habitually for the next, you know, as they start to build their job. And then we also focus on their relationship development, which is really important. It sounds obvious, but it's so important as someone is going to start a new job. You know, part of that relationship building initiative is how they navigate a culture. And they don't typically get that when they start a new job. You know, the coach helps them with exercises about how to observe a culture and how things get done within the culture so they can understand the culture better. And that's not something when you're taking on a new role, you're overwhelmed with work. And, you know, the leader that you're working with, you know, there's so much to do, and it almost creates a bit of a transactional relationship between you and your boss, you know, at that point in time, where the person, you know, may not be totally listening to what you need. And they're like, well, we just brought you on board. We've had no one in this job for the last year. We need you to do X, Y, Z and do it quickly and really focus on that transactional part, where our coaches could come in and talk and help not only the person that was just placed, but also the leader talk about cultural alignment, you know, and what that means to the organization, and go through, again, exercises that help them understand culture and understand the alignment that is needed. So we kind of force that into the first 90 days and what the person does. You know, and we have a bit of a saying in our coaching practice about how culture eats strategy for breakfast. And we feel very passionate about that, because culture, you know, if you're not aligned on the cultural aspect of things, you get off to the wrong start, it's not going to go well. And you're just so focused on, again, the transactional aspect, it's going to be a big challenge. You know, so we align the people that we coach to help them really build relationships overall. And then on the habit building side, you know, they often, people starting a new role, especially in a leadership position, there's the old drinking from the fire hose analogy. and you know you're kind of overwhelmed with work and what you're doing, our coaches will help, you know, kind of work through that, you know, creating the right habits to ensure your mental stability through the storm that comes in your, you know, your first few weeks and, you know, in time in a company, and kind of understanding those expectations, setting goals for yourself, focusing really on like the big picture initiatives as you're doing the work that needs to be done.
Private equity backed companies often have unique leadership needs and high performance expectations. How does your approach shift when working with PE firms or their portfolio companies?
Yeah, and PE firms, you know, it does shift quite a bit because they move fast and they typically acquire companies that they want to turn around and sell in a very short period of time, as we all know. And I would argue, and I think I could be accurate in my argument, to say that the number one thing that can make or break their investment and what they're doing is having the right talent in that company. So whether it's talent that's there or talent that's not quite there yet. So obviously that puts a ton of pressure on us to be able to deliver and to be able to do it in a timely way, you know, with what they need. So the high touch process that I mentioned earlier and all the work that we do and put into our process, we have to do that in a very condensed period of time when we work with PE. You know, their expectations are very, very high. And, you know, we need to understand everything they understand about the company. Why did they invest in that company? Why do they see, it might be a fledgling company that they see so much potential in, and there's reasons why and diligence that they do. If, you know, if you've seen private equity due diligence reports, I mean, they're huge and massive, you know, in terms of the amount of work they put in to try to understand if they are going to acquire a company. And when they do, they need to knowledge transfer that to us as fast as possible. So we need to pull all that out of them so that we understand the value proposition of why they built that, why they bought that company, why they see that they could turn it around in a few years, and then go out and find the person or people that are going to help them do that, you know, and have that same mentality. You know, we need to understand like PE operating models when working with PE. They have aggressive growth targets. They're, you know, they have tight capital structures. There's a ton of pressure from investors, a ton of pressure for people to exit, you know, within the next maybe 3 to 5 years, as quickly as that. So our ability to find and coach leaders that are comfortable with that transformational change and the speed of change, and that have very specific cost discipline, and, you know, they build a value very quickly. Like, we need to really hone in on that as quickly as possible when looking at someone, and not to mention those soft skills and cultural alignment and hard skills and fit and everything else I mentioned earlier. So it's really important that we get off to the right start with the PE firm and know everything that we need to know, again, about why they invested in that company and the type of person that's going to take them to where they want to get. And, you know, they expect us to be the subject matter experts in finding talent. So the more time that we have on the front end is better, you know, what we're going to be able to provide when we're doing the assessment of talent. And in the PE world, if we waste their time with an interview, you know, and send them someone to interview and they talk to that person and there's just not that fit in terms of the aggressive growth and, you know, types of cost discipline that I mentioned, then we're in trouble. We're not going to be working with PE very often because they don't have time to waste. So, you know, we have things like scorecards that come in real handy that align us with the PE firm so that interviews stay structured, that we're, you know, taking out the right things from the interview, asking the right questions, and then doing it in a very quick way that we could assess people and know that they have all the things that they need to jump in that role quickly and meet and achieve the goals that they have.
What's one piece of advice you'd offer to executive search or talent leaders navigating this rapidly evolving landscape, particularly when it comes to balancing tech with the human side of the business?
There's going to continue to be a lot of noise that tech or AI can replace what we do in executive search and coaching and leadership development. And I would argue that could be all professional services, you know, attorneys and accountants and other, you know, professional services skills, you know. So there's still, as I mentioned earlier, kind of going in depth on the things that AI can't necessarily do in the human touch. that those are the things that we really need to, from an advice standpoint, you have to become that subject matter expert. You really need to know how to find the right person with the right mix of the soft and hard skills that's going to fit the role that you're working on. So you really need to be an expert in, become an expert in what type of person that that company needs. So you need to know all the ins and outs of the company. You know, you need to know their value propositions and why they're going to be successful and what type of person is going to fit that culture and really understand their culture, all on the front end, so that you essentially become an advocate or an ambassador of that company as you're doing a search process or coaching someone in that organization, so that you can make sure that, you know, you are providing that value. So AI isn't necessarily going to fully assess a person and give a full recommendation. They may have tools that can do that, but again, that human aspect of knowing some nuances and some tone and some differences or conflicts that might happen is something that can take you over the edge. You know, give them, you need to really help also save time, you know, in terms of there's so much out there in terms of AI and tools and way to assess candidates and way to coach them and different assessment tools. So again, back to subject matter expertise, know which one of those makes the most sense for that particular company, help them implement the right systems and process there, help them find the right talent and be able to move on, you know, and move quickly through the process. So you're providing a ton of value and you're saving them a ton of time. And then, you know, using AI and other things to save you the repetitive work that you need to do, so that you save time and provide the value you need to your clients and your candidates overall.
Help me kind of wrap everything up. A final thought from you?
So a final thought is, you know, I would be careful if I'm, you know, in this world, we advise our clients all the time, be careful with AI. You know, there's a lot of efficiency that AI can provide. There's cost efficiency, there's time, there's maybe some, you know, expertise that can be found in AI, but there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of things that are misleading. The one of the biggest things too, and if you're using AI for interviews or other things, AI can provide an incredible amount of bias, you know, that humans don't necessarily provide. So use AI wisely, but don't replace the human touch, you know, especially when you're trying to find or coach or assess talent. It's very, very important.
I think that's really great wisdom from you. I thank you for your time. You were a great guest today. Really appreciated it.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. Thank you for hosting and thank you for having me.
And Pete, your insights on the evolving landscape of executive search and leadership development and the balance between technology and the human touch offer real value. And I'm confident our listeners are walking away with practical ideas they can apply today. That brings us to the end of this episode. On behalf of our guest, Pete Petrella, president of Talent Rise, I'm Rob Adams. This is Talent Talks. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to having you with us next time.